Our gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and gives it light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and scribes, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray. Our gracious and most loving God, we thank you for your word, a word which we explore each and every week as we gather here together. But Lord, I pray that we don't just keep that exploration to one day a week, 1 hour a week, but that we would read and study your word throughout the week. Because, Lord, it isn't just one passage that has importance to our lives, but it is the entire scriptures that you have given us. But as we gather today and hear these words, Lord, I pray that the message that I bring forth is your message and yours alone. I pray that all of our hearts and minds will be open to receive the word that you have for each of us this day. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. We just finished hearing the Beatitudes over the last 8 weeks. And Jesus moves right from sharing those blessings of following him to who we are to be for the world. He tells us that we are to be salt and light. There is a saying, there is nothing more useful than salt and sunshine. Now, I don't know that I agree with that comment 100%. But I do agree that both can be beneficial. But we also need to remember that both can be harmful. So how do we, as followers of Jesus Christ, live out being the salt and the light of the world without being useless and without being overpowering? Let us first look at salt. Salt is used to flavor foods, and we know that if you do not add salt to foods, the food is pretty bland, isn't it? It doesn't have much taste to it. But we also know that if you put too much salt in a food, that it can ruin the taste of that food as well, can it? It can make it overpowering. But in Jesus' day, salt wasn't just used for the purpose of flavoring food. It was used as a fertilizer. It was used to make compost piles. Do any of you here have compost piles? No? No one? Oh, Larry does. Do you put salt in your compost pile? Supposedly, an agricultural purpose of salt was to make things flourish, to accelerate its growth. Maybe that's an experiment you could try for us. How How many of you have ever used salt as a healing agent? You have a sore throat. Have you gargled with warm salt water? When Jesus gives us this parable, Jesus wants us to understand that as we live in this world, if we become like the culture we live in, if we begin to accommodate the culture that we live in, we become like salt and we lose our effectiveness. We lose our distinctiveness of who we are in Christ Jesus. But sometimes we can also be overpowering. Sometimes our love for God wants us to stand on the rooftop and shout for joy, doesn't it? Sometimes we can become overzealous in our love for the Lord. And I know that doesn't seem like it's possible. But the sad thing is that sometimes our overzealous behavior leads us to become overpowering to people who do not know Jesus. To people who may have never heard of the Savior of the world. And so instead of giving them that taste that will want them to have that desire of coming to know the Lord, we overpower them and we turn them away. So how is it that we find that balance of living as salt that is not ineffective and salt that is not overpowering? It's a tough balance. And yet it's one that Jesus calls us to as he tells us that we are to be the salt of the world. And so we need to rely on him to give us the words and the actions that we need to speak to not only those who are here in our midst, but to those who are outside of these four walls, to those who do not yet know Jesus Christ. Jesus goes on to tell us that we are to be the light of the world. If Christ is living in our hearts, then we can't hide his love from the world. It's kind of like the sunshine. We can't hide the sunshine, can we? But when Jesus says a city on a hill cannot be hidden, we need to understand Jesus' day and the cities that Jesus is talking about. In my newsletter, I had written about not having a screen just because. But this is one of those moments where a screen would be beneficial, where we could see the city on the hill that Jesus is sharing with us. A city that would have been built out of white limestone. And as the sun shone down on that city, it was as if it glowed during the daylight. Light helps people to see. And Jesus is telling us that that's what we are to do. We are to help people to see who he is. We are here to help them see the love that Jesus has for them. Now we need to remember in Jesus' day there was no electricity. It wasn't as if coming in and turning on the lights where we had light upon us or the light of the windows shining in around us. How many of you have ever used an oil lamp? Quite a few. And when you light that oil lamp, it emits a soft glow, doesn't it? And so Jesus is telling us that we need to be like that soft glow. We know that we cannot look wholly into the sun. It can burn our eyes. We know that it is better to read from a warm light than it is from a cold one. A warm light emits that soft glow. A cold bulb emits a bright light. So in this parable, Jesus is saying that others must see that light of Christ shining in us. Again, a light which reflects the mind and the will of who God is in our lives. Our light, our lives, should show others that human goodness that can only come from knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Our prayer is that the light of our lives casts that glow of good works that helps others see who Jesus Christ is, so that they may come to know him and so that God might be glorified. As we look at the next passage of Scripture, Jesus says, "Do not think, or never think, that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but I have come to fulfill them." How many of you have read the Old Testament? How many of you, after reading this Matthew scripture, have thought, why don't we celebrate the festivals that we read about in the Old Testament? How many of you have ever thought, are we still to live under the law of the Ten Commandments? How many of you have ever thought, we're a New Testament church? There's a lot of debate about this passage of Scripture. But I believe when Jesus refers to the laws and the prophets, that he's referring to the Scripture of his day. Now, we need to remember, Jesus wouldn't have had the New Testament. That was not given to us until after the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But Jesus is assuring the people that he did not come to destroy the Word of God, but to free it from the way the Pharisees and the Sadducees have misused it. Jesus made it clear that he had authority apart from the law of Moses, but Jesus never contradicted it. Jesus fulfilled the law by obedience and submission to our Father in heaven. Jesus goes on to say, "I tell you the truth, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from that law until all is accomplished. And anyone who breaks one of these, least of these commandments, and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commandments will be called great in heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." The commandments are to be obeyed. Jesus' life teaches us that he followed the will of his Father, not in the legalistic way that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law tried to tell him that he had to do. Remember when Jesus healed on the Sabbath and the Pharisees tried to say he was breaking the law, that he wasn't keeping the Sabbath day? Jesus said, "Who among you has not taken one sheep or ox, depending upon which gospel you are reading, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lift it out? How much more valuable is a human being?" If you did not know this, you may find it interesting to know that the Pharisees added 613 laws to God's word. 365 negative laws and 248 positive laws. But Jesus tells us the object of his coming is not to revoke any part of the moral law that has been given to us by God. That moral law of God is forever and ever. It doesn't change with place. It doesn't change with time. It doesn't change with circumstance. Jesus did fulfill that moral law. And when we read the Sermon on the Mount in its entirety, Jesus came to reveal fully and clearly whatever is hidden or obscures our vision concerning the law. See, the law continuously prepares us for and points us to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that gospel of Jesus Christ continuously leads us into a more precise fulfilling of the law. For instance, the law requires us to love God, to love our neighbor, and to be meek, humble, and holy. But we can't do that on our own, can we, my friends? We can't be meek, humble, and holy if Christ is not living in our hearts. And we see in the gospel of Jesus Christ God's promise to give us love, to make us humble, to make us meek, to make us holy. Fulfillment of the law in us comes through Jesus Christ. So we accept that good news. We allow God's Holy Spirit to work in us, and we live into the will of our Father in heaven. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but he came that it may be saved through him. Jesus showed us how it is that we are to live our lives. He set the example of how it is that we are to love and treat one another. So when Jesus says anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of God. So what is he talking about? I just recently had a conversation with someone who said, how can God forgive someone who abuses and kills a little child? How many of us have a hard concept of understanding that? Have you ever questioned, how is it that God can forgive us when we tell that little white lie? When we gossip about someone? When we get envious about what someone else has that we want? Or maybe when we steal company time by being on our cell phones? Or when we walk out of work with that ink pen that the company has paid for? See, every sin is a transgression of God's holy and perfect law. Every sin is an insult to the dignity of heaven. But here is the thing. For some reason, we feel that we can somehow justify those little sins in our lives. You know, I didn't want to tell her she looked fat in that dress. So I just told her that it looked great. Hey, did you hear that Paula's daughter's boyfriend's son took a machete to school? When in reality, Paula's daughter's boyfriend's son is 4 years old and took a Power Ranger with a sword to preschool. Oh man, did you see that house that Jack and Jill built? It has 5 bathrooms in it. I'm lucky I have a bath and a half. I know I should be working, but I'm really stressed right now, so I'm just going to play a quick game on my phone, and it will only take a few minutes. It won't matter that I'm supposed to be working. What? Another ink pen? Ugh, I need to quit putting these ink pens in my pockets. Oh well, I'll just throw it in the drawer with all the others I brought home. How many times have we done something like that? Something that seems so simple and so innocent, and we justify it. See, the thing we need to remember is any unconfessed sin separates us from God. Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. My friends, our lives speak volumes to the principles that you and I live, of how it is that we fulfill the commandments that have been given to us. So what do our lives teach others? Do we teach others that God's commandment of remember the Sabbath and keep it holy is important? 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest. You shall do no work. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested the seventh day. The Lord blessed it and he consecrated it. Now, here's where the problem comes in. What we need to remember is the Sabbath may be different days for different people. Some people have jobs that require them to work on the day that we consider the Sabbath, Sunday. Another thing is, what is work? That can mean different things for different people. I would say gardening is work. My brother-in-law would not. My brother-in-law loves to garden, and being in his garden is a relaxing, stress-relieving time for him. I have never asked him, but I would think it is also a time of prayer for him. Herb would say mowing the grass is work. But I have a friend who loves to mow the grass. And when he mows the grass, he says that's a time for him to be able to be in communication with God, with nobody else around but him and the world. So what is work to one person may not be work to another person. When one person rests on that Sabbath day may be a different day than we celebrate the Sabbath. So let us not judge what a person does on the day in which they do it, because it may be different than ours. The question is, how are we keeping the Sabbath? And are we setting that example of what the Sabbath is for us to others? See, don't allow the world to set our standards for us. Let us live according to the standards that have been given to us by God. On Judgment Day, it's going to be God that we stand before. It's going to be God that we give an account to for everything that we have said and everything that we have done. It's going to be God that we have to say, God, this is how I was set apart from the world while I shared your love with the world. It isn't other people that we are going to stand before. It isn't others that we're going to have to give an account to of our lives for this world. Jesus does not tell us how that righteousness is to be gained. He doesn't tell us how it's to be developed. doesn't even tell us how we will be empowered. However, in John 15:5, he does tell us this. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. May we fully rely on our triune God to live the life that he calls us to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. May we live a life that allows us to be salt and light to our hurting world, a world who needs to know Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.